title this morning, Pain and Suffering. And I probably that's not the best title to give a lesson. I know that people are thinking, are you describing the lesson itself, what we're going to do, what this is all about. But I got to think about this. I was looking up, and I preached a lesson on suffering about 4 years ago. And in that lesson, I remember talking about it's personal. It is real, and it's something that we endure so as to, you know, it seems like it's forever, but actually suffering is for a limited time. And I got thinking about this idea of pain and suffering in connection with what Paul wrote there in Romans 8 chapter. And that's where we're going to wind up in this lesson. However, you know, we all experience pain. We understand pain is probably the source of most suffering we endure. And we can all relate this in very personal ways, again, as you look at it, that before my surgery, about a month before my surgery, I had gone to the surgeon, and we scheduled the surgery, and one of the things they told me was that they would call in the pain medication, and I would pick it up the day before my surgery, and I would come to the hospital, already have it in hand, so there'll be any problems as far as medication, so as to keep the pain down as much as possible. And the day before my surgery, I got to realizing I hadn't heard from my pharmacy yet. And it was about noon. I thought, I need to call them and find out when to pick this up. And I called them. And they were surprised. They said, we hadn't received anything from your doctor. So I got on the phone and I called the doctor's office, got a receptionist, and told her what's going on. She said, I'll send a message to the nurse. And whenever I hear back from the nurse, I will call you. Okay, so an hour and a half later, I get a message from the doctor's office saying, we call that in to your pharmacy, and they should have it ready for 2 hours. Sitting back and waiting and waiting and waiting, by 4 o'clock, I decided I need to call them again as far as pharmacy, and call them again and say, oh, yeah, we see this, but we actually don't have that dosage they prescribed in our pharmacy. And she said, we can't fill this. And then also she said, and so I said, well, I'm supposed to do this. And she said, you need to start calling around other pharmacies, find out if they have it. And then get back to your doctor, have them call it into that other pharmacy. And by this time, it's already 4:30, 5 o'clock, doctor's office closed, and I'm thinking, great, I'm going to the doctor's office tomorrow to have surgery, and I don't have anything as far as any hydrocodone, anything. And so the next morning, my conversation with every person I talked to going into surgery was, I don't have this medication yet. And they got it all settled. They called into a different pharmacy, one of the other places in town. But I thought about that in a sense. That was something that was really on my mind before that surgery, because we all know we don't like pain. Anybody who likes pain is unusual. You know, they have something wrong with them. But so as we look at it, we also realize, though, that pain is caused by things. And there has to be a reason why we have pain. And that pain is given to us for various reasons. We get different reactions to it. And so first of all, starting out this lesson, let's just start with kind of the source of pain and suffering. And that is, if you go back to Genesis first chapter. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, so everything's going to be, you know, the old-fashioned way, just reading out of the Bible. But in Genesis first chapter, we had this account of creation. And if you look at verse 1, it says, beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, we're all very familiar with that passage. And then it starts breaking it down to every day something God created, what God created that day. And as you read about these creation that God created, we find, for instance, verse 3, if you back up there, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there's light. And God saw the light that was good. And that begins the pattern we see here all the way through this first chapter of Genesis in the 10th verse. And God called the dry land earth and the gathering together. He called the waters, he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. You go down to verse 12. Again, the same idea. And the earth brought forth grass, herb that yields the seed according to its kind, and a tree that yields fruit that whose seed is according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In verse 18, it said to reach us and to rule the day that God made the stars, the heavens, and the earth. And he said to rule the day over the night, divide the land for the darkness, and God saw it was good. And go on to verse 21. Again, the same idea at the last part of that verse, that God saw it was good. And so the point being is that when God created everything, God made it good. In fact, the very last verse of this chapter, verse 31, it said, then God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good. Now, my translation was put in there to make it flow better in English, but it was very good. And what he means by that is everything was exactly God intended, that it was beneficial, that everything had a purpose to it, that everything was appropriate. It was all useful. And we can say it was without fault. You know, we can use all those words here. When we think about something being good, we tend to think of it in those ways right there. Useful, beneficial, without fault. And as we read on in here, we find there's nothing mentioned in this first chapter, or even the second chapter, really, about pain and suffering until the third chapter. And of course, that's when sin enters in. And that's when we start reading about things like death and murder and other things that create pain. Okay, so what we look at then is that God made everything good. Now, if you go over to Romans 8 chapter then, and this, now I want to relate all this here, is really what Paul writes in Romans 8 chapter, and perhaps ways we had not thought of, because in Romans 8 chapter, Paul talks about contrast here, and he makes a number of those, but also, as you think about these contrasts, he says what's happening. And what we have to look forward to, either on the good side or the bad side, much like in our Bible study this morning. Now we read through the Gospel of John there, John is making a contrast between between heaven and earth, between the idea of eternal life and eternal punishment. Well, here in Romans, the first 8th chapter, verse 1, that he says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here we have one of the contrasts is simply the idea of walking according to flesh versus walking according to the Spirit. Being spiritually minded versus being carnally minded. In fact, if you look at verse 2, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So again, we have this contrast as we have the law of the Spirit, the law of life versus the law of sin and death. Now, who would want sin and death? I mean, we had to make a choice between two. You can have either life or death. Which one would you choose? And so it goes on down this chapter in verse 6. He said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so again, that contrast between death, physical death, and spiritual life, basically, that he's talking about here. And verse 14, go on, read on down there. Skip on down there. It says, for if many of us are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And so that's what we want to be, as far as sons of God. And at that point then, in verse 18, he goes back to this idea of suffering. Now, Paul has gone through a lot. We know that reading through his journeys, reading through 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, where he starts describing all the things he had endured, the beatings and the scourgings and shipwrecks and all of those kind of things he talks about. And Paul talks about this because he says, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we suffer, how do we keep the proper perspective of it? How do we deal with suffering? And Paul said, yeah, he suffered. He doesn't minimize the fact that he has suffered. He had bad things happen to him. But he said, in comparison to what's ahead, it is nothing. And as Christians, you know, we suffer in the physical body. We get sick. We get hurt. We die. Those kind of things happen. And so, yep, let's go down to verse 20. And he says, he talks about creation. Now he makes it sound as if creation is a person, really, as you read through this. Because in verse 20, he said, the creation was subject to futility. Now that's something about what God had made at the beginning, right? While we just read there in Genesis first chapter, everything was good. And then sin entered the world. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also had the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, even waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And just think about what Paul's saying there, that creation in one sense, not just man, but all creation, suffer because of sin. And when you think about, for instance, the flood of Noah. And we understand, okay, only eight people survived the flood of Noah, but think of all the animals that died. Think about all the creatures of the land that died because of man's sin. And then go on and think about the plagues upon Egypt, those 10 plagues. And you think that in that plague there, what's made a little different there, in the fish, when the water turned to blood, what happened? The fish in the rivers, in the streams, they died. And then as you read on through that, yes, man suffered because of the various plagues, but also about every living thing suffered there. As far as the cattle suffered, the vegetation was eaten up. And so the suffering just wasn't man. It was really, you look about Egypt, by the time you got through that 10th plague, Egypt was a shambles. Had been decimated by God's wrath at that point there. And so we look at this here, and God's punishment upon Israel later on. Whenever they weren't faithful to Him, God would send things like famine upon Israel, and then plagues, and then, you know, various other things. Earthquakes happened there. And all these things here was a punishment upon Israel because of sin. And so in that sense there, when Paul's talking about the earth groans because of pain, it looks eagerly waiting for something else. He's describing that we live in a pain, in a world of pain and suffering. And so we would do that. We can sometimes look at that pain and suffering directly when we see that sin did cause this. You know, sin, murder is sin. Sin caused the pain and suffering of the family who had the person murdered. But also indirectly. And that is not because we're terrible sinners that we suffer, because of sin entering the world and pain and death entering in through sin. And so I just want to start out there today. And you wonder, okay, now where are we aiming at this here? And that what Paul's saying is that pain and suffering causes us to learn things. It causes us to do things. We respond in various ways when we have pain and suffering. One is that when we have pain and suffering, we may decide to actually ignore it. Have you ever done that? I mean, after all, if we went to the doctor every time we had a little ache or a little pain, wouldn't we always be in the doctor's office? Well, we tend to ignore it. However, there's times, you know, when it gets to be where we realize it's constant and something's not right. And we decide, okay, now what are we going to do? Well, if we ignore the pain when we know something's not right, that usually does not work out too good for ourselves. Usually it can cause something, maybe we do something that increases the pain. Or we procrastinate and we prolong the pain. I've known various people that maybe have different types of surgeries and refuse to have it when the doctor first says so. And basically, they just prolong the agony until they finally have to have surgery. And so we prolong the pain. Sometimes we decide to shift the blame. I may blame you because I'm in pain. Which again, really doesn't take care of the pain itself. I'm just kind of ignoring it. And I may be blaming you for my actions, what I do here. I may blame God for my suffering. I may say, well, the reason I suffer is because God is doing this to me. And when we had that song a few minutes ago, and that third line of I need thee every hour, that third line is that I need thee every hour in joy or in pain. Well, you think about that. Again, our reliance upon God, but some people will ignore it or blame God because of pain. Now, we can do the same thing spiritually. We can look at ourselves and say, okay, spiritually, you know, I'm not in the right place. I may be spiritually, I'm dead. What are we going to do about it? Now, sometimes people will ignore it. They'll just say, well, you know, I don't want to deal with that today. I'll wait till tomorrow. One of these days, I'll take care of it. We're ignoring the pain. We're ignoring the fact that we're separated from God. Some people go deeper into sin. I'll just keep on doing the same thing and maybe continue to do the same thing and hope that the results will change. Okay, so that's the result of some people. But others are going to say, okay, I got to do something about this. And so what we do? Well, one thing we do is we try to figure out the cause of our pain. Okay, we have pain. Why am I hurting? That's a logical thing to do, right? We gotta figure it out. Try to figure it out. And as we do that, we may think, okay, my physical pain is caused by this. Well, let's again think about the spiritual pain of sin and death, things along that lines. And so just as physical pain causes us to do something, well, what should my spiritual pain cause me to do? Again, we have to realize that sin is ultimately the cause of any spiritual pain I'm in. By separation of God, sin has caused that. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 verse 23 says. So, when I look at this here from a spiritual point of view, okay, if I'm separating God, it's because I've sinned against Him, and I need to do something about it. So that's one thing here. Identify the figure, the cause of our pain. The second thing here is that we say, okay, I now know what it is. And this may be kind of the hard part because sometimes you will know the reason they're sick, but they don't change their actions that cause the sickness. Have you ever had anybody, I'm sure Blake has had people sometimes who tells them what's wrong with them, and they may argue with them, or they just go ahead and do the same things they've always done, not change anything. Well, the same thing here. Sometimes people say, okay, I need to change my actions. I need to find a solution. And again, the physical pain gets us to change things. The prodigal son. When you look over Luke 15 chapter. In Luke 15 chapter, we have what some would call the key verse is verse 17, which says he came to himself. You know, this young man gets his portion of the inheritance, goes out, wastes his goods, and ruins his livings, and then he comes to himself, and we say, okay, that's the key verse. Actually, the key verse may be verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. In want. That does not mean what we normally think of in want. That is, when we look at something, I want that. And what means he was, without the necessity of life, he was hungry. He was starving to death. At this point here, he was in want of what he needed. And that it means he was in suffering. You ever been hungry enough? Have you ever been, think about this, have you ever been hungry enough that you see the hogs eating and think, I want to eat that? That's how hungry this man was. He wanted to eat what the hogs were eating. And so that created that condition where he says, I need to change something. Now, let's look at this here. Sometimes pain and suffering is God's way of getting our attention and saying to us, you need to change what you're doing. If you look over Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You know, just as we discipline our children, just as for you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father is not chastened? But if you are without chastening, which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers to correct us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more so really readily be in subjection to Father's spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so he's simply saying, our Father's greatest. There are certain things today that have been ingrained in each one of us from our parents that we will not do because they stressed to us. Maybe we got in trouble with them. Maybe they punished us, but they stressed the point that we understand this is what I'm expected to do and this is what I cannot do. And that's the way we've been trained. See, God is the same with us. Why? For a purpose. That we may have the peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. That's the purpose. And so we started doing something wrong. What happens? He said, well, again, there's pain. Spiritual pain to us. The old joke of hee-haw. You've ever watched the show when the guy folk going to Doc's office says, Doc, it hurts when I do this. And the medical advice of the doctor is when they stop doing it. Well, that's what he's saying right there, that we have that. And so we have to understand, okay, this causes me to be wrong with God. I got to stop it. Now, this gives a third thing, and that is we have to, they hate that which is causing the pain. And that's a really hard thing because if I'm doing something that's wrong, and the Bible talks about the fact that we may enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, if I don't hate what's wrong, it's really hard for me to stop it. I just kind of keep on doing it. Even though I may know it better now, I just keep on doing it because I really don't hate it. But when I hate something, then it's easier for me to stay away from it. What are some things that we should hate about pain? What are some things we should hate about sin? One is that it causes us to be alienated or separated from God. That's been number one on the list. Anything that separates me from God, I should hate. Over in 1 John 1 verse 5, he said, "This message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and not practice the truth. But we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and blood Jesus Christ is sin, son cleanses from all sin." You read through there, you realize, honestly saying, okay, we understand here that sin is so separating from God. If I value my relationship to God, I'm going to hate sin. I'm going to stay away from it. The second thing is, it causes our prayers to be hindered. As Christians, we understand prayer is more than simply wishful thinking. And it's more than simply just saying, well, you know, I just hope things work out. Okay, prayer is communication to God. And the Bible points out to us the power of prayer and the reason we need to pray. But 1 Peter 3 verse 7, which really talks about the relationship between husband and wives. But I want you to notice the last part of that verse. Start at verse 7. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together grace of life." And those last things says, that your prayers may not be hindered. You see, our life, because our prayers to not be answered by God, because we're not living the way God says to do. We are unholy children. And we're unholy children, then God's not going to answer our prayers in the way we want. And so we need to think about that. It stops God from listening to us. Not only that, but also sin alienates us from each other, our fellow men. How many brothers, sisters in Christ, no longer talk to each other, no longer get along with each other because sin entered into their relationship? You know, that somebody says something they shouldn't have done, they shouldn't have said, or did something they shouldn't have done. How many relationships have been ruined because of sin? And so we start thinking about that. There's a lot of reasons to hate sin. But then also we have to go to the next step. Okay, we see what the problem is. We understand I need to change something, but then I have to hate enough to change. But then also I need to actually repent of it. And that's the next step. And that repentance of sin is necessary. And not just saying I'm sorry because of sin, but repentance means turning towards God. There's a lot of folks that are sorry. But how many of those people will then turn towards God when they're sorry? We have to be one to repent. And the final thing is that we have to understand that pain and suffering causes us to appreciate when we're not in pain and suffering. I said this many times, perhaps some of you, I know some of you have heard this here, the definition of pain and pleasure and how it changes with age. When you're young, pain is the absence of pleasure. When you're old, that pleasure is the absence of pain. And it changes how you view things. And stop thinking about when I got my hydrocodone, I won't say that I was without any pain at all, but I'll say, you know, it was measurable then. I could endure that then. But when we're no longer in pain, then we realize the blessings we have because of that. Over in Revelation 21 verse 4. Okay, the absence of pain. 21 verse 4. "And God wiped away every tear in their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the four things have passed away." How many of us look forward to the next funeral we're going to go to? We know it's going to be another one. How many of us said, "Boy, you know, I just can't wait to go to another funeral"? How many of us look forward to the next time you have to go to the doctor's office because you're sick? How many of us look forward to the next time you shed tears because you're separated from somebody? And so those things pass away. I will tell you, I look forward to a time where I won't have to do any more funerals or go to any more funeral homes. I look forward to a time where I won't have to say more goodbyes. That's one thing. But also, that we're brought near to God, and we become new creatures in Christ when we do what God says. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. New creatures. The sin is gone. And if you go back up, I should have read this earlier. If you go back read up to Revelation 21, verse 5, after all these former things passed away, he said, verse 5 there says, then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. All the old things we hate about this world are gone. We are new creatures. And as you think, the last thing is that when we have pain and suffering, when we understand what Paul's saying in Romans 8 chapter, he said, we equally wait for adoption. We equally wait for God has in favor for us. And that is we grow in our faith. We grow in our faith when we endure these things. James 1st chapter verse 2 through verse 4 says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, though patience has perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so that's why we should grow stronger. I know one of our brothers in Christ who had traveled a lot through the world on his job, various places. They said that one place he was at, in the Middle East someplace, that they would not pray for somebody necessarily to be made well. They would not pray for them not to suffer. Sometimes we pray for peace and safety, and they don't pray for those kind of things. So, and the reason they don't pray those things, they said those things makes us stronger to serve God. And we should not pray that God's going to be taken away. We should pray that when we handle those things happen to us, that we will actually become better Christians, better servants of God. And that's what we need to do, is become better servants of God. And this morning, as we have those songs selected for us, and say that number again.
343.
This morning, as we have all kinds of things happening. We had a list here as far as our announcements of different people that are suffering physically. There's a lady that I know about, Jonesboro, her and her family, that just the other day I saw where they said she was in ICU on a ventilator. I don't know her condition. You know, we can look around and see all kinds of pain and suffering. But we can also look around and see the joy of heaven as God prepared it for his people. And this morning, you're not a part of this family. If you're not a Christian and not obeyed Christ by confessing the Son of God, repenting your sins and baptizing for your sins, then we ask you to think about what God is offering to you by the invitation he gives to all of us to come to me. If you need a response this morning, what's coming to stand as we sing.